It's going to be a wild ride. So buckle yourselves in.
Hello and welcome to Shamash, the Scottish NFL podcast. This is the official first podcast of the offseason as we turn our attention to the 2024 regular NFL campaign. We are building up to free agency, which is just a matter of days away. We are going to look forward to the draft, but we'll not get into the details just yet. We may touch on it a little bit because Gordon's done a mock draft. It's cute. We'll get into it. There's been a bunch of people franchise tagged. There's been a bunch of people who haven't. There's lots of chats and rumors. There's already been one trade as the Bears have picked up a center. But we'll get into all of that and a little bit more. Joining me to do so in alphabetical order, we have Gordon McGuinness, we've got Ian Stephen, and we've got Jamie Borthwick. Evening, gentlemen.
All right. I'm impressed that you were able to work that out in alphabetical order.
As I was saying it, I did have a mild panic and was like, hang on, where's G in the alphabet? I also didn't talk about retirees. There's some retirees.
Well,
Ian.
I've got a prepared statement to read. As you know, I'm a representative of Mr. Charles Patterson and why he's not here tonight. It's come to my attention there has been recent speculation in the media regarding the misappropriation of funding from a trust that is administered by a company registered my name in the Cayman Islands to the Niktep Children's Hospital in Cambodia. Misappropriation is such a disingenuous term. It is true that money due to help the orphan children has been held up by a variety of offshore transfers of which I had minimal influence. I hope we can move on from this unfortunate matter. On an unrelated note, the 200 children that have gone missing from Phnom Penh can in no be correlated to the 20% increase in productivity by diamond mine in Botswana.
Oh, excellent. We're off to a flyer. I'm going to come straight to Jamie Borthwick because I feel like the second biggest, it's maybe the biggest impactful news is Jason Kelce. I don't know that it is. Saquon Barkley, Saquon. Saquon Barkley.
He's been in the league for like fucking 6 years, and you're like, Saquon?
I'm doing it. I actually did that one intentionally, but now I'm worried that I'm going to fuck this up. Saquon.
There we go. Jesus wept.
Saquon Barkley is going to hit free agency. This is going to be, it's the wrong podcast to get Gordon on because he's going to tip a bucket of scorn all over it. But probably the best running back free agency ever.
It's
pretty hot, right?
It's an unbelievable selection of free agents. And there really isn't any surprise that he hasn't been tagged after last year. The negotiations, they were in good faith, and they ended up really not being in good faith in the end. And basically, the agreement has been coming down the road that they will let Saquon or Saquon Broccoli test his value. He wants to know what his value is on the market, right? And he's picked absolutely the worst time to do it because you have Austin Eckler there, you've got Josh Jacobs, who's also looking, DeAndre Swift is there. This is actually difficult because there is about eight really high caliber running backs all hitting free agency at the same time. However, I do think that Saquon is the one that is most likely to get paid out of all of them. The interesting question though is by who, and if it's not someone who's ready to go and contend for a title, will he rather just be at the Giants given how much he loves that place and that he's a guy who is very interested in having a legacy. And I think the idea of being a one club player really appeals to him. So when you look through who actually has the room to go and pay Saquon Barkley what he thinks he's worth, which is going to be around about the £11 to £12 million a year mark, I'm not sure if there's any contenders in there.
I've got one. Cincinnati Bengals. They have room this year. The T. Higgins thing confuses it a little bit, but I think there's a chance they'll trade him. They also save a bit when they cut Joe Mixon, which I think they probably will. Barkley in that offense would be pretty fun.
That would be fun.
Is Mixon done, though?
and it's the Philadelphia Eagles. And that probably concerns me. I know the Cowboys would absolutely love him, but they have nowhere near the headroom to go and get him. The Eagles do. They do right now, and if they're able to shift the stuff about, then they have even more scope to go and do that. And as a finishing piece, he would be quite outstanding for them. But so it's going to be absolutely fascinating.
I would be surprised if the Eagles did, simply because of the way they treat value in by like player positions and stuff like that. They're very, very strict. But maybe they break it for Barkley.
What about the Texans? Is that something that Bobby Slowick would consider doing? Or not that he does it, you know what I mean? Like, is he a player that Bobby would want in his offense, I guess?
I mean,
the run game wasn't brilliant. Like, it started okay. Pearson Singletary did okay. But it wasn't something they could lean on when they needed to.
No, I don't think there's an offensive coordinator in the NFL who wouldn't like to have Barkley in their backfield. It's just whether or not you make the cost work there. And I do think if you have a rookie quarterback, so you get that boost cap wise, then maybe that's a shout.
Is he the most significant player you think will leave the Giants this March, Jamie? Of all the other free agents that are going, do you think he's the most impactful?
He's the most impactful. He's the most important. He's the biggest leader. He literally has been the face of that franchise for basically since the moment he was drafted. In terms of importance to them, though, I just wonder if you look at how important the running back position actually is and whether it's worth spending that sort of money. It's been decided that they're not going to tag Xavier McKinney in any way. And again, that comes down to he's probably a more important player in terms of what they did last year. He played every single snap. Only him and Bobby Okereke did that throughout the entire season. And he is, again, another massive leader. But I think they have decided, like, I don't think $13 million for a safety is going to be worth it. They'll probably still talk to him, but I think he is potentially a slightly more important part of particularly what was happening in the defense, obviously, that they could be walking out the door.
If you're picking up a running back of the free agents that are available to you, I guess this is a question that we'll probably get into and start figuring out, you know, where's a good home for each of these running backs? Because there's going to be some natural places where some of them land. There's going to be some, perhaps, reaches for some of these players. But I guess, Jamie, do you have a particular running back from that list that you would like to see in New York over the rest?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they're really looking for a sort of a big money veteran pickup at that position. I think they're probably going to prioritise a few other positions, like the O-line, obviously. I think cornerback is one that they're really looking at. They're probably going to look for a pass rusher, and they need a wide receiver. And I think they're all more important pieces than running back to that organisation at the moment. So, no, I don't think that they will. If they don't hold on to Saquon Barkley, I don't see them pursuing any of the other blue chip options out there on free agency.
We'll stick with the running back chat because, Gordon, there's a running back coming out of Baltimore in Gus the Bus. Are you concerned about him leaving, or do you feel like the way that the Ravens offense is set up means that you can plug and play pretty much any running back in there?
Why are we talking about backup Ravens running backs when you've got like Russell Wilson getting released today, like the most important position in the NFL?
Just trying to stick on theme.
Somebody that could be a top five quarterback, and we're talking about what? This is ridiculous.
Ian, we've got to keep people hanging on. We can't get to the juicy stuff first. We've got to get through the crust of the bread.
We're better off talking about kickers at the moment.
Ignore Gus Edwards. The Ravens running back situation that I think you need to spend at least 30 seconds on is that it would be a very interesting scientific experiment to see Derrick Henry in Baltimore. Like, I just, all the talk, and I still don't think running backs are valuable, but he's, what, 250-something pounds? Like, put him in an offense whereby defenses are stretched horizontally more than any other in the league and let him run straight at people. I want to see what happens. I want to see if that makes, you know, does that add a yard? Because you look at Gus Edwards' numbers, you look at J.K. Dobbins' numbers when he's been healthy in that Ravens offense, and they're like 4.5, 5 yards a carry, average players. If you stick Derrick Henry in there, and if hopefully he's not entirely fallen off at this point, I just wonder, could you have an absolute force running straight at people?
It would be an interesting experiment. We'll come back to the running back conversation then as we try and home them all, because Ian is right. Let's talk about the quarterback position, because there are a couple of tasty kickers. We'll get to them. But Russell Wilson, the Russell Wilson one's fascinating as well because of the agreement that they've got released after 2 years. So two questions are, first of all, where does the trade rank in the all-time worst trades? And two, does Russell Wilson try and shaft the Broncos by taking the smallest possible contract and putting himself into a potentially winning position by doing so, because the Broncos are going to pick up a lot of the slack? Or do you think that Russell's more interested in looking after himself and he's going to try and get as much money as he can?
I think he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler for not that much money at all. Take your $600,000, still get all your money, be quarterback for the Steelers. Maybe the Vikings as well, I could see that.
What about the Titans?
Raiders will be making a pitch for him as well.
Probably, yeah. The teams that are going to be so interested, ironically, the Broncos are right in the middle of them, but everyone's talking about the top of this draft for quarterbacks. But you've got Las Vegas, Denver, and Minnesota, all like three picks in a row, just outside the top 10, who are all going to need quarterbacks. So they're going to be spots that are going to be interesting for Cousins, Russell Wilson. Obviously, the Broncos aren't going to be interesting for Russell Wilson because they're not bringing him back. But
unless
unless
one of those top three teams really falls in love with somebody like Marvin Harrison and thinks that they could be at the franchise for 15 years and are not sure that one of the quarterbacks could.
New England. I mean,
if you pick up Russell Wilson when you're New England and you still also get Marvin Harrison, I mean, that's two all pros with like one pick.
The other thing I think you can do, if you're New England, maybe you don't take Marvin Harrison, but maybe what you do is at pick number three, you're getting the third quarterback in that class. It's probably going to be Jaden Daniels, and I think he could be really good, but also the amount of sacks he takes is alarmingly high, which is a big red flag. You could move down with Denver, Vegas, the Giants, someone like that. Pick up an extra first next year. Like, do what the Bears have just done, which is make a jump down, get the first next year to a team that are going to start a rookie quarterback and probably not be very good. All of a sudden, the Patriots next year could have two high picks and a shot at another quarterback.
I can see the move back happening for the Patriots because they've got just a huge amount. They've got so many different holes to plug, but they've also got over $100 million in cap room. So they've got so much maneuverability as well that they're going to be really, really interesting to watch all through the offseason.
Is there any chance that Russell ends up back in Seattle?
Probably not.
With Pete Carroll away, is it a nice chance to go back?
No. No, like, he's not... I don't think he's better than Geno Smith at this point in his career. Like, he's... And this is also... So, I don't think the Broncos should get too much hate for the trade outside of the fact they gave up too much. It was a lot to give up for an aging quarterback. But at the time, he was still a top 10 quarterback. It's just that he's regressed quite considerably to the point that now he's probably still somewhere inside the top 20, but not.
Did he regress, or was he just not the right fit for that offense?
I think you could see some of the signs now if you go back, and maybe this is just hindsight. If you go back and watch his last season in Seattle, some of the issues that were there like his arm strength, I don't think is what it was at the early part of his career. And that's had a bit of an impact, I think.
They also didn't protect him, though, in Seattle. Like, that offensive line has been problematic for a while. And there's only so much you could hope from Russell Wilson scampering about. I mean, to be perfectly honest, the only person that scampers more is Kyler Murray. I think his legs and his ability to create space and time for himself is a contributing factor to that. But I do wonder if you put him behind a really good offensive line, give him the assets, he's still... What is he? Top 20 quarterback still in the NFL, or has he slipped way behind that?
He's probably around that top 20 mark.
I would say.
What about someone like,
in terms of potential, he has the potential to break into the top 10, possibly top 5, if he fits in the right offense. If he fits in an offense that has a running play going to one side and he then bootlegs off to the other, a la San Francisco, he would do very, very well. If he's in an offense where he's to play in the pocket, he would do as well. But it's the same thing like Kirk Cousins. If you put Kirk Cousins in a system like Baltimore's where he's got to run the ball 15 times a game, he's probably not going to do well. But if you put him in a system where he passes for 5 yards every time, might be having the best passer rating in the NFL.
It should have ended up in San Francisco then. It would have been happy days for
Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins in San Francisco would be brilliant for San Francisco.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those ones where I'll be honest, like I have stuck to my shtick about this being our year, and there's part of me that wonder whether Kirk Cousins would be coming to San Francisco this year, and I thought that was kind of one of my long plays. I don't think he is now, because I think we'll be rolling with Brock Purdy. Didn't think Purdy would still be the quarterback this year. However, I'm standing by it. Niners are winning the Super Bowl. Now that that's been confirmed, what about if Russell Wilson ended up in Tampa Bay? Do the Tampa stick with Baker? Or do they see Russell Wilson as an opportunity to spend some money elsewhere on some bits and pieces that they need and go and get Russell Wilson instead? He's an upgrade on Baker, right?
Don't know that he is. Baker was fine last year. They're probably
fine winning the Super Bowl though, Gordon.
No,
fine. Sounds like, you know what? Let's just go with kind of eggshell white for our walls.
But Wilson,
it won't offend anyone with eggshell white. We could sell the house on in 10 years with eggshell white.
Wilson is not going to win them a Super Bowl either, is he?
He's won a Super Bowl for Seattle, though. That's the thing.
But Joe Flacco wasn't going to win one with the Browns, so I don't know the necessarily
all right,
stacks up.
Fucking calm yourself. He did win one against your boys. No need for shade at the newest investor in Irish football.
What you do with Baker Mayfield is you just prolong the fact that you're going to be a mid-level team, maybe always competing for the NFC South, but you're never going to be one of the elite franchises. And it's difficult for teams because they can never openly admit what we've got will never get us to the top of the mountain. Tampa always has to sell tickets. They always have to be kind of competitive, so they can never relax in having a season of real turgidity and knowing that they'll get a high draft pick.
They did a really good job as well, though. Like they deserve a lot of credit for they loaded up to win the Super Bowl with Brady, and they very quickly got themselves out of cap trouble. Like last season was their year that they were supposed to suck because they were heavily limited cap wise. It's why Baker wound up being the quarterback last year, because they didn't have a lot of money to spend. Would be interesting to see what they would do with the savings, because Baker's probably costing you 35, 40 million a season.
And they're right in the middle of the pack when it comes to cap space right now. Like they're not in a problem. They've not got a bucket to spend. But yeah, if they dropped some pieces.
Yeah, they have just tagged Winfield though. That cap space probably doesn't count Evans. So they'll drop down quite a bit. So if you can save money there, I would be more intrigued to see if the way their roster's set up, I wonder if they would go after Cousins. In the sense of like, so Kirk Cousins is better than Baker at this point in their career. You've got the receivers there around him.
I said this on the Patreon chat, you said, was it on the team chat? And I'm going to
team chat.
Damn it!
Hang on though. There was a very different part of this that made this something that I don't think will happen. You said, would they get Cousins and trade for Justin Jefferson? The trading part, I don't necessarily think they would do. And also, your trade suggestion was absolute mince, because it was, oh, they'll give, watch this happen now that I'm telling you, it's absolute mince. They'll give Chris Godwin back. And I don't think that's the way the Vikings GM, Kwesi, would operate. I think he's taken an aging wide receiver.
It's a compensated. My point there was more that it's an opportunity for the Bucs to shift what is a big contract that Godwin's on. And I think for the Vikings, what you do is you say, well, listen, we've got rid of Jefferson, who was an asset, a pacey asset. But what we've got is we've got Godwin, who when fit is a pacey asset that isn't a bum. We know he's a good wide receiver. And if they bring in a rookie, then it's someone with experience that they can target. It's an experienced vet that can bring on the rookies. It's good to have someone capable in the building rather than a bunch of bums with nobody know what's going on.
If I was a Vikings fan and my team tried to sell me,
trading
Justin Jefferson when
now it depends on how many first round picks you're getting.
But this year's first round picks in the 20s. Or late teens, wherever it winds up being. I think it's in the 20s. If you tried to sell me that and Chris Godwin was good for Justin Jefferson, I would turn into one of those fans that you see being a prick and burning their jersey on social media. Respectfully, of course.
That's fine, yes. Sticking with the quarterback conversation, Jamie, first of all, do the Giants move on from Daniel Jones now? Do you think that's a cert? And if so, if he gets cut, where does he end up?
No, Jones doesn't get cut this year because he's basically on a fully guaranteed this year. He plays for the Giants this year. He probably, I would bet a fair amount that he starts week one. But I think the Giants draft a quarterback because in 2025, the Giants can cut loose from Jones at very little cost because of the way that they structured his extension. So it's not as simple as they're moving on. It's they are planning for life without Daniel Jones now, because when he signed the contract, he was coming off a playoff year, and he's now someone who's had two serious neck injuries and a blown ACL, and with very, very little film to back up that he, you know, can play through those things and still be the guy. So
would the Giants be tempted to go first round if they could to take a quarterback if one of the quarterbacks drops?
Yes. They interviewed all of the, you know, the likely names, probably the big six quarterbacks that are there.
Well, they're going to get one of the big six. If there's six of them and you're picking sixth, then...
There's not six that are worthy of picking in the top six, though.
There's not six that are worthy of picking at number six, though.
Mm.
So, you know, say the consensus top three go 1, 2, 3, then they've got to make a decision. Probably their next favourite is JJ McCarthy. Is he worth the sixth? Is he worth the sixth overall pick? Or do they start trading back? Because he's not going to be there by the second round, you would imagine, given the way that he worked out in Indy. So, yes, they will want to pick a quarterback in this draft. It's just a matter of how many different moving pieces and how they're all going to fall on the day.
To be critical of the Giants, and this isn't entirely hindsight, it's a little bit of hindsight, but it is the same view I had at this time last year. The franchise tag was right there for Daniel Jones, and he was coming off his best season, that's fine, but he hadn't shown enough to be like, okay, we definitely want to be committed to this guy. Now, that being said, they can get out of the contract at the end of next year, so it's not like it's you know, horrendous, but they could have been out of it this year, basically, and they could have like been able to start fresh from that point on and looking at those things. That's the only way I'd be slightly critical of them. I would have never drafted Daniel Jones.
We can go all the way back to Dave Gettleman deciding, yeah, this guy is worth the sixth overall pick. but we are where we are.
Well, this is it. This is it. We are where we are. We wouldn't change it for the world. Any other quarterbacks like that are hitting free agency? Well, I suppose the question here is, does Russell Wilson hitting free agency like he is, with Kirk Cousins being there as well, I'm not sure there's anyone else that you would put into the conversation that would be a starter. Tannehill's not. Like, after that, it's a drop, right? It's Jacoby Brissett, Mitch Trubisky, Tyrod Taylor.
Brissett's who I would consider if I were the Patriots, and I was drafting Jaden Daniels at 3. So I think Daniels, especially with the pressure to sack stuff, that is going to be a big hindrance for him early in his career. I think you need to sit him and sit him behind someone. Brissett is a perfectly capable NFL quarterback. He's probably as good as Russell Wilson is now. So if you're the Patriots, like, Russell Wilson or Jacoby Brissett are probably your best bets for that bridge quarterback.
The Patriots, I'd be interested in Cousins.
Yeah.
And drafting MHJ.
Because Belichick's away, that would be
very, very interesting.
I kind of feel like the Patriots are one of the interesting teams because Belichick being away, like, the whole ethos could change. Ethos. What's the right way, Gordon?
Pretty sure it's ethos.
Ethos. Fine. I never know with words. But everything's out the window, right? Anything that we thought might have been their type of player, well, it doesn't necessarily apply anymore, right? They're a complete unknown, I think. And that will be fascinating to see what direction do they now go in. Would they consider a Baker Mayfield if the Bucs decide to let him walk out the building? Don't know. Jameis Winston to the Patriots. It's another one. Winston's in the mix there. I'm looking down the list. There isn't a lot, though. But the question that I was going to ask was, Russell Wilson hitting free agency, Kirk Cousins in the mix, does that hamper the Bears' ability to trade Justin Fields? And do we think that means that the Bears may reconsider what they try and do with the first overall pick?
No.
Do we think that they're absolutely committed to moving away from him?
If the Bears... I don't think I'll ever have been more upset at an opposing franchise in my life if the Bears do anything. The only trade that I accept from the Bears from first overall is dropping from 1 to 2 and getting something from the Commanders. If the Bears prefer Drake May and they know the Commanders want Caleb Williams, which was one of the stories that people were telling. But I don't know. If the Bears go below 2 and don't wind up with one of those top 2 quarterbacks, when they literally got the dream scenario from the trade down last year. Like, it's the mystery box thing, right? What if we traded down from number 1 overall? What could we get? Oh, we could get the first overall pick next year. Like, you got that this year because you wanted the other year of Justin Fields. You don't need another year. Even if what the quarterback class and free agency and the draft probably means is that the Bears, they might not get a second round pick. Maybe they won't even get a third round pick. It might wind up being a fourth that they get for Justin Fields. They'll have to cut their losses, or you keep them on the roster, but you're taking Drake May or Caleb Williams.
Who do we see coming in and taking Fields? And what do you think you can get for Fields?
I think it'll wind up being a fourth.
If this really as low as a fourth,
I think it could be, yeah.
If the Niners could get a third for Trey Lance,
it'll be performance based. So, like, it'll be if you make the playoffs, it'll be a third. If you win a playoff game, it'll be a second or something like that.
I'm now checking to see what we got. It's a fourth round pick for Trey Lance. I did have a moment there, but fine, it's the same.
And he was, I think he's worth more. No, I don't like. Trey Lance was a top 5 pick a couple of years before. And okay, like, he struggled when he was on the field and he got hurt. But the reason why the 49ers were trading him was because they had another quarterback. Like,
but similar to the Russell Wilson situation, do you think there's anyone looking at Justin Fields and going, he's a great guy, he's just in the wrong situation?
Yes.
Like, because of the look at Lamar, and I mean, Lamar, when he first came out, was a running quarterback and has got better at passing as the years go on, under the right situation, right? Like, you take what Justin Fields is now, you put him into that Ravens team, the progression, it may not be as good as Lamar is now, but the progression could have been something similar. So in the right situation, you can develop a player with that running threat that is real and devastating when it works, and just work on the fundamentals and give them a bit of time to actually grow.
That is 100% what an NFL coach will believe. They'll entirely, whether or not it winds up being true or not, there will be NFL coaches that believe that. There's loads of teams, though, that are a fit. The Rams are an option. Like, I think the Rams this year should be looking for... Stafford probably only plays one more year. The Vikings have already traded within the division in the draft when they moved down... Was it with the Lions? I think it was the Lions a couple of years ago. They moved way down in the draft for the Lions. So the Vikings have already traded within the division, so I think they're an option. The Steelers, sneaky one would be the Cowboys, because there was like a weird comment from Jerry Jones that was played in the media last week, and it was around discussions for Dak Prescott's contract. As I say this, I'm going to look up his contract. Yeah, so his contract voids after this season. So after this season, they can't franchise tag him. So they have to come to a new deal with him, or he hits free agency. So the Cowboys are 100% in a position right now whereby they need to be thinking about what the solution is if they head into the season without a long-term deal in place for Dak. They have already shown that they are starting to think about, we should probably just have a look at some of the options here. So not saying that will happen, I'm just saying that's one option.
The Cowboys, if you look at their situation though as well, like we've already touched on the fact there's not a lot of money to spend there. There's not a lot of money even leaving in free agency. Like, Pollard's not on a massive contract. Stephon Gilmore's slightly behind. You're talking 20 million. Tyrone Smith, fine. There's not a lot of money.
Pollard was on a decent chunk, was he not? Was he not franchise tagged?
I'm sure he's on a 10 million contract.
Yeah,
if I'm reading this right, so 10 million is pretty fine. It's not a bum. I mean, Gilmore's on 10 million as well, and he's 34, so that's easy spending and saving. Pollard, you could argue if you could get him on another 10 million at 27, but then he just wasn't that effective on the run game, right? It just was a bit.
He wasn't great last year.
No, and I think that there's, again, is that a situational thing, or is that just because Pollard's not that great? I mean, everyone was screaming for Pollard to take over from Elliott because he was clearly the better player, and he was. But there's so much of this is so reactive because a player has a bad 6 months, and it's largely down to the way that particular franchise was playing, and heads were down, and the wrong plays were called, and they just didn't get his opportunity. Pollard's an interesting one for me. He's the sort of player I feel like could go somewhere else and absolutely thrive, or go somewhere else and be in nothing, utterly ineffective. Pollard's the sort of thing I feel like LA Chargers and be half the player that Eckler was. Like, that could easily happen. So I don't know. But it just feels like the Cowboys, there's not a lot of wriggle room for them to do anything without some butchering of their contracts. Interesting as well, as we're talking, like the franchise tags, obviously the news is breaking all the time at the moment, but did we expect Baker Mayfield to ever be in that conversation, or was he never going to be franchise tagged?
No.
Because he hasn't been.
Not over Winfield. Like, Winfield's the guy they couldn't afford to lose. So that's what. So Baker was always going to be the last of the three because they wanted Evans back and he was priority one or two. Winfield was probably priority one, so Evans was probably two. So Winfield was like, let's try and get a deal done. If we can't get it done, then he gets tagged, and then Baker's the one that they'll try it. They might get it done in the next few days before free agency opens. The interesting thing that I saw today, though, was that the Bucks and Winfield are apparently in the range of $20 million a year. Jesse Bates got $16 million a year in free agency last year at safety. And what's going to be one of the storylines of free agency this year is going to be how much contracts jump because of the new, the bump in the salary cap, the Taylor Swift size bump in the salary cap. You will not be complaining about Taylor Swift when you can sign an extra free agent, will you?
I'm more confused. Are you talking about Taylor Swift's bumps?
I am not suggesting that she is pregnant.
Right, we'll move on from this one quickly.
You were in America, Gordon, and you do work very fast.
We need to talk about Jason Kelce, Ian. How significant is that retirement to the Eagles team? Obviously, emotionally, as a fan, when you see a great player that's been so significant for your team go, it's huge. But actually on the field, is it a massive impact to the Eagles?
Well, he was kind of countenance in retirement before the start of last season, so it was expected. The Eagles drafted Cam Jurgens as replacement for centre, so they've got the replacement already there, and Dickerson can play centre as well. So it's more kind of just from a leadership perspective, but the Eagles have confirmed that Brandon Graham's coming back this season. But you have to move on. You can't be permanently nostalgic, or you'd have like 100-year-old players playing in the league, which would be quite entertaining.
Is he the best centre to have ever played for the Eagles?
Trick question, because Chuck Bednarik played both centre and inside linebacker of the modern era, yes.
We can work with that. Okay, what are the other significant free agents then that you guys are interested in seeing where they land? Who are the names on the board that you're like, ooh, that could be fascinating?
Chris Jones. Because yep. the Chiefs franchise tag L'Jarius Sneed, so they could trade him. At least that's what they said, basically. So they could trade him. Chris Jones is almost definitely hitting free agency now. And that he's the best defensive player to hit free agency in a good couple of years, I think. So, fascinating.
He is about to turn 30, though. That's like the only kind of hindrance. I don't see a team giving him like a 5 or 6 year deal. It might be just 3 years, but near enough fully guaranteed.
Well, Wilkins as well, man. I've just gone on to the PFF free agency tracker, and I'm like scrolling down. So you've got Jones 1, Kirk Cousins number 2, and then you go Josh Allen 3, tagged, T. Higgins 4, tagged, Brian Burns 5, tagged, Justin Madubuike 6, tagged, Christian Wilkins, Antoine Winfield Jr. 8, tagged, Jalen Johnson 9, tagged, L'Jarius Sneed 10, tagged, Michael Pittman Jr. 11, tagged.
Did Daniel Hunter escape a tag? Is he going to be in the agency?
He's good.
There'll be lots and lots of teams looking at him.
Yeah.
Also 30, though. Like, I was surprised at how old. I thought he'd only been in the league a couple of years, but he's been around a lot longer.
The other two other players I'm really interested in. One, Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown should not get a long-term deal from someone this year. He's been really injury-prone throughout his career. He's sneaky productive when he's healthy, but he's 5'9", 180 pounds, and injury-prone. But this wide receiver class in free agency isn't actually that good now that Evans is gone, Pittman's been tagged. So all of a sudden now, if you want a wide receiver in free agency, and you probably shouldn't, you should probably be thinking about the draft, but he's probably going to command a bit more of a hefty contract. And then Bryce Huff, the edge defender from the Jets, is coming off pretty productive season, two pretty good seasons in a row without playing a ton of snaps. And he could wind up getting over $15 million a year, I think.
On wideouts is how good this wide receiver draft class is. That's going to squeeze anyone hitting free agency. That's going to be tricky. Just about every team is going to think they can pick up a guy who's either a day one starter or someone that they can mold into a really, really effective player.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of sexy wide receivers on this list anyway, is there, right? Like,
please stop objectifying these athletes, Cameron.
Sexy on paper, like if you were to draw them out.
Human beings.
But there's not a lot of great names in there. It's kind of, I'm trying to look, like, so obviously Evans has gone, Odell Beckham, pretty injury prone, Tyler Boyd, Michael Thomas, can he recover? You're struggling. Like, there's nothing there that you're immediately going to go and pick up and be like, oh, brilliant. Like, that's a game changer. Calvin Ridley's maybe the only one that I'm kind of interested in, because he had some great performances at the Jags. So he's the one player on that list I think is probably still young enough as well. Other than Brown's 27, right? So who? Hardman coming out the Chiefs at 26. Yeah, like you say, the draft class is so deep by all accounts that you don't need to spend a lot of money. We're not going to see, I don't think, maybe this will come back to bite me in the butt, we're not going to see a Christian Kirk ridiculous contract situation like he got at the Jaguars. I just don't see this being the spend area, right? The wide receiver is going to become the running back market this year, and the running backs are going to get more money.
No. So the other issue with the running backs...
You don't think there'll be a bidding war with those... No, running backs in the because, play, I think,
because there's too many of them. Yeah. That's the problem for Derrick Henry, Barkley, and Josh Jacobs at the time, Pollard as well. If only one of them and then the rest of the running backs were there, then yeah, you can be like, look, I'm clearly the best one, and you get a bit of a bidding war there. All four of them there, you're now looking and going like, okay, well, how many teams are desperately looking for a number one running back? Not that many. Okay, I'll give you. I think 8 to 10 million is going to be the range for most of them, apart from Barkley, who I think probably gets 12 or so.
Okay, so you think off the top? Let me see. I mean, Austin Eckler's only on a 6.1 million deal at the moment. Austin Eckler could get more than that.
No, Austin Eckler was not. I don't think Austin Eckler was good at all last year, was he?
But he was. This is the thing, though. It's like he wasn't that great last year, but the Chargers weren't great last year. So do you write him off because the Chargers had a down year, or do you go and give him the money because you know what he's capable of?
He's had 1,000 carries in the NFL, and he's 29 years old, or will be when the season begins. No one in their right mind is giving him more than $6 million a year.
Which will be interesting. Like, so do you think then out of the top, God, you're talking then a few, none of them are going to get a pay rise out of this other than Barkley?
This is the source I'm using.
I'm using Over the Cap.
Yep.
And looking at their current contracts.
So, I mean, Henry, I don't think so because he's 30. Josh Jacobs, I would be surprised because that was him on a franchise tag, I think, right? Barkley tag money. I think he can get a bit more because he's coming off a really good season. Pollard's not coming off a good enough year to get more than he got there. Yeah, none of them are getting more money. And the top, what's that, five guys? They're not getting more money than they got last year. Apart from Barkley, maybe.
Apart from Barkley. It'll be interesting to see. Okay. The Jamal Adams has been released by the Seahawks. The other one is Leonard Williams is obviously coming away. Both of them know New York. Is that two players, Jamie, that you would take back? Well, you didn't have Adams, but he was in the building. But would you take Williams and Adams, the Giants?
Yeah, I don't really like Leonard Williams at the Giants. He was given a massive contract because he was literally our only good player for a couple of years. If he comes back on more realistic terms, absolutely have him line up next to Dexter Lawrence again. That would be fantastic. And if McKinney moves on, getting Adams in the secondary would be fantastic. But I'm not sure if that's where they're looking to spend their money. I'm not sure. I think a guard is the most likely place that the Giants splash a bit of cash.
I just don't like Adams in coverage anymore. Like, he's really fallen away in coverage from the point he left the Jets. Since that point, he's still a good pass rusher, so I think there's still like a role you can have for him, but he's going to want. He's the one who I think is probably in for a pretty rude awakening in free agency. The safety market since he got traded has, for unless you're at the very top of it, has absolutely collapsed. And he's a guy I could see getting like 2-3 million a year, not much at all. I mean,
I can see him holding out and holding out and holding out and never getting near what he wants, and the season starts and he's not got a club.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Right. Okay, let's get a little bit speculative now because we've been fairly sensible so far. Nobody wants sensible. So I want to know where the players are going. I want you all to commit to it. And we're going to look at the running backs first of all, right? Where's Derrick Henry going?
Baltimore.
Baltimore?
Fine. I think he's a Raven.
Ian, Jamie?
I thought it was just Gordon.
No. All of you. Everyone, wait in.
Derek Henry at the Raiders.
I can see Derek Henry at Patriots.
All good guesses. I'm not going to commit because I'm running this shit, so I don't have to. Josh Jacobs. Where do you think Josh Jacobs ends up?
Patriots, I think.
Did you not just say Patriots for Derek Henry?
I don't think I said that. No, I don't think so.
I can start a real good bit here as well then. Josh Jacobs, Ravens.
For fuck's sake. You're derailing my shit.
Josh Jacobs.
Well, you can't say Raiders. I suppose he could go back there, but it's not likely.
He could be a New York Giant.
Josh Jacobs could fit into near off any offense in the NFL. Derek Henry can't. So I think the availability of teams is far larger for Jacobs.
Where does Barkley end up then? Where does he actually end up? We talked earlier, it could be Philadelphia. It could be Houston. Where do we actually think he's going to go?
Washington.
They've got a lot of money to spend.
Yep, and it'll be two fingers up to the Giants.
I think he goes to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Where does Mixon end up then?
Patriots.
Yeah.
Ravens.
No, Mixon wouldn't be at the Ravens. Patriots would make sense.
Everyone's to the fucking hell, and they're going in a different direction. Just running backs. I mean, do you know what? I'd be here for
in
it.
In my simulation, though, none of them have gone to the places that Ian said they were going to. So,
yeah.
Joe Mixon, my simulation, the Patriots is an open spot.
Oh, God. Right, okay, this segment hasn't quite worked out as I thought it might. What about then, who is the one player, if you could have, off the list of free agents to your team, who are you picking? I'm going to start with you first, Ian.
I've been trying to remember who it is. It's a cornerback that I really like, and I can't remember if he's been tagged or not.
JC Jackson.
JC Jackson.
Out of the Patriots. Fucking hell. Obsessed.
I would definitely take him, or I would take Xavier McKinney, one of the two, I think.
Jamie.
JC Jackson. Yes. That would, yeah, definitely. He's fantastic and he's a massive need for the Giants.
Mm. I'm just going to say JC Jackson as well, because that's exactly where the Niners need to address. Although
I did fleetingly think about the prospect of Chris Jones beside Dexter Lawrence there, and that gave me a tingle.
Would you take Kirk Cousins?
Cornerback? Oh, that'd be a risk.
if you could somehow find a trade partner for Daniel Jones.
I want to develop a quarterback behind Daniel Jones this year.
I think one thing that's interesting, you're talking about the extra cap money and where it might go in free agency, that I think secondary is somewhere that might see the biggest bump up in money for the players. And the reason for that is quite simple, because it's really easy to evaluate wide receivers coming out of college because they're all often the focus of an offense, and there's plenty of examples of them playing. But if you're seen as a premier cornerback in the college ranks or play for a premium kind of franchise, nobody throws your way, so you don't get the opportunity to put the skills you have on paper. And you get a player going to the combine and he puts in good numbers at the combine, but he doesn't have what he needs to back it up with his tape, and it becomes such a difficult exercise for front offices trying to decipher who actually is a good cornerback and who's just somebody that was an athlete that played at a big program and nobody threw their way. And once you've played in the NFL for a few years, like guys like McKinney and JC Jackson, then they know that you're talented and they're willing to invest that money into you. It's more of a crapshoot when you're drafting, I think.
As we're speaking, Eric Kendricks, the latest player to be released by the Chargers. Don't know that that's necessarily a massive surprise. 32 How
it's,
do
it's,
you...
it's, always, it's always better to be released by the Chargers than charged by the releasers.
How much do you guys enjoy free agency as a whole? Like this time of year, is
it really hot? I mean, really, we're talking about kind of neighbors phoning the police worried about the noises coming out of the house. Or if you want to cut it from an alternative viewpoint, I'm not really fussed about it at all, Cameron.
Good. It's good. It's good banter. You like
free agency was great in 1992 when it first dropped in and it was this new concept, but I think it's really, really tapered off now. You've seen exactly what Gordon was saying reading down that list. If they're a good player, their franchise, they don't hit the market nowadays.
Well, what's fascinating to me though is, so what I would include in free agency, the start of the league year is also when players get traded too. So we'll see a couple of trades probably happening next week, which will be interesting. There'll probably be a couple of high-profile ones, which will be good. The thing I think that's really interesting, though, is so the NFL, for years, all the deals would get announced a minute past the hour when free agency opened. So then the NFL added this legal tampering period, which I don't think we ever talk about how noncy a suggestion that is the way to open your league year. Legal tampering period is supposed to allow 2 days of discussions between teams and players, and they can come to deals, although nothing isn't signed and all that stuff. Like, the entire process, which is the discussions happen in Indianapolis, is still what happens. Like, so Mike Evans and the Bucks come into a deal, and I have zero intel on this. This isn't like any kind of insider thing. But Mike Evans coming to a 2-year, $20 million deal with the Bucks, after he'd previously said something about wanting to play with like a Hall of Fame quarterback and win a Super Bowl. If you want to just join the dots, then maybe his agents maybe had a little conversation with some of the contenders in Indianapolis. Oh, is there any interest in Mike Evans? Oh, what would the kind of value be at? And they've maybe discovered that the Bucks are the most likely, so they've went, oh, well, we'll just stay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The odds on that conversation happening last week are pretty high.
Yeah. Do you think that that's something the NFL will ever address? Do you think we'll see an end to franchise tagging, for example?
It probably should. It's a pretty, not undemocratic. What's the word I'm looking for?
Colonial.
Colonial.
it's very, for the owners.
Yeah.
And an awful lot of the stuff in the NFL is very much for the owners. Like, salary cap does add parity to the NFL. However, the biggest advantage it has for the players is lifting the salary floor. Owners still, that salary cap still means that you can only spend this, and even you can borrow a little bit from void years and stuff like that, but still a pretty low limit compared to what the NFL makes. And the draft's a pretty, like, you will go to this team and we will pay you this amount of money, and you know, that's it.
It's funny though that that is something that, like, you wouldn't get in European sport because it just
teams.
There's too many teams, but even there's too many like contractual and legislative rules that mean that you just wouldn't be able to force somebody to go anywhere they didn't want to go. Like, it just wouldn't happen. Like, there's too many laws and things like that within the European Union. It just wouldn't happen. Couldn't happen. Salary capping, I don't think will ever happen, because it would be challenged in a court in Europe, and it would be thrown out.
It kind of is with the FFP and the salary cap in the lower leagues, but...
But it's not a cap on what that player can earn. What it is there is a cap based on your income that means that you just can't get money in from illicit sources, which is slightly different. But I know what you mean. Like, in theory... Well, I don't know. I don't know. Is there a maximum an NFL player can earn? Is that ruled anywhere?
Yes, the salary cap for the team for that year.
Well, so this is what I'm thinking. But is it? Could you only play one player? Well, I mean, what would happen in the scenario, right? Well, so,
an American football player can earn any amount of money in the world, but in America they can only earn a certain amount. So it's to do with the laws tied up with, you start getting down into the kind of murky, seedy legislative stuff that goes on with like congressmen and senators getting back handles to keep these kind of monopolies running, et cetera, et cetera. Like the NCAA is a murky mire of putridness at the best of times as well. So I don't think there is any sport that isn't, though.
No.
I'm pretty sure that the Scottish Lawn Bowls Association is mired in politics and backstabbing and financial irregularity.
That's
not why Paul's not here tonight.
Paul Mitchell is the president of.
He's not here tonight because he's tweeting out funny gifs about the new Champions League format.
Fine. Okay, we've been prattling on for a bit then. Any other breaking news stories that anyone wants to talk about? Where does Justin Fields end up? Let's cover that one. I'm sticking my neck out on this one. I think he ends up in Pittsburgh. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers may try and play for Wilson. I think they may not get him. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers go and get Justin Fields.
Goes to the Patriots.
I think he winds up at the Minnesota Vikings and we get a little interdivision trade.
Would they let him? Do you think they'd let him go to the division?
If they do, then we really know what they think of him.
It's true. I'm convinced that they're basically playing the field right now. I think they've got a bunch of offers on the table, and this is the story leaking part of the scenario where all the teams, because this is the only logical reason that I can find behind the story leaking that the Steelers are going to move ahead with Kenny Pickett, right? That's only to force an issue. That can't be true.
Cameron, you have not been at your best tonight. There was a segue you missed between me talking about Taylor Swift and moving on to Jason Kelce retiring. There was a perfect segue that you just ignored and just passed up on it. And just there you said, playing the field instead of playing the fields, when the pun was staring you right in the face.
I've had a lot of cheese tonight. That may be bogging me down. But yeah, the point still stands. Kenny Pickett's not going to be the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh. What's that noise?
I mean, the coaching staff indicated at the end of last year that Mason Rudolph will be the starting quarterback over Kenny Pickett. So
yeah. So what's that? But where's that bluster coming from? That can only be coming from trying to force an issue. And I can think the only issue they'd be trying to force is the Justin Fields one.
Wilson makes sense as well. Like I think Wilson,
if you can persuade him to take the small contract, I think that's the bit that matters here, right? If you can persuade him that you come and sign for 10 million even, then fine. But I don't know that he will do it, because I think he'll think about himself. He'll want a deal that extends beyond the length of his current Broncos one, and he'll want to make sure that there's money there for him. The only way to do that is to have that in paper now. You signed for 10 million. How can you then go and fight and argue and say for the next one, well, I want more, because you're getting paid a payoff from another team? So I don't know. I feel like there's a juicy story around that, but I don't know that I see it pan out. Anyway, I think Justin Fields goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ian thinks he's going to the Patriots. Any takers on higher or lower?
Said Minnesota, which I think is as high as
you. Oh, yes, you did. You did.
I just think I've been waiting for something to develop with Atlanta for Fields, but it doesn't seem to be materializing. So I don't know. I don't know. The Steelers seems like something that seems pretty plausible. You've made a compelling case.
Do the Falcons fear putting the money in for Fields because of the very comparison I made earlier, where they had the opportunity to go for Jackson, say that they don't want him in the facility, then to just a year later go and get Justin Fields, who is not the player that Jackson is, but maybe could be. But if that then backfires, then it only makes it look even worse that they didn't go to Jackson in the first place.
So point one on that is you absolutely should not think like that, because that's just sunk cost fallacy. Almost in reverse, because it's not cost you sunk, but cost you should have sunk fallacy. I think we should call that. However, some NFL owners do think like that, and there will be potentially NFL owners who are like, oh, we didn't go for Lamar Jackson last year, we can't go for Justin Fields this year. And then third point on that is, if you're an NFL owner who says in any way out loud, Didn't go for Lamar Jackson last year. Oh, we better not go for Justin Fields this year. Just understand, people are going to start to see a pattern and they might think you're a bit racist.
But no, that's not what I'm thinking. Because you could go get a young rookie quarterback, right? And just go in a different direction. And you can kind of stand by your position of, we didn't, Jackson wasn't who we wanted here, but we'll go get somebody really good. We'll go trade up even. And yeah, get...
if you're Atlanta, will people ask questions if you didn't sign Lamar Jackson, you don't trade for Justin Fields, and you draft Bo Nix or JJ McCarthy? I don't know. He might. And McCarthy, I think, is, I don't like him as much as other people, but I've accepted that he's probably going somewhere between 8 and 13.
It's very specific for JJ McCarthy, but that's fine.
Well, I don't think the Giants take him at 6. I think if the Giants are taking a quarterback, they're moving up or moving down.
Yeah.
So I think Atlanta to Vegas is JJ McCarthy's range.
I think if the Giants are sensible, the Giants will tickle the notion of they're going to take McCarthy to panic somebody like the Falcons and moving up, possibly moving a player elsewhere into the Giants' reach that they want. You could see the Giants trading up at the end of the first round to get somebody like Michael Penix and getting him on that fifth-year option.
That's a good point, though. But so we're talking about places that Justin Fields could end up. And if there's a offensive play caller that I'd be really intrigued to see him with, it would be Brian Daboll. Giants, you get him, he's on a rookie deal, so doesn't matter that you're overpaying Daniel Jones this year. You know, it gives you two options to see who could be your starter the following year. Give up a third round pick. I could sell myself on that.
It would be fascinating, but there's been no suggestion at all that they're interested in bringing in anything other than a rookie.
Well, it's a fascinating time. It's been a slow meandering journey that we've gone through free agency here. This was not the Sky Sports transfer deadline day hype that we might have got. We've got that to look forward to when we deal with picking apart the pieces of what actually happens. We've got legal tampering coming up very soon. We know that Gordon's looking forward to
it. Is that Charles thing that I talked about at the start?
That's the full-time whistle then for this episode of the Shmash. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this in every single episode. We will continue to drop the podcasts throughout the off-season. We are planning on having some very franchise-specific content as we go as well, so keep your ears peeled for that. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time where we will pick apart all the pieces of what's been going on in free agency. But until then, thanks for listening and bye for now.